Well, shalom, everyone. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great peace have those who love his law, and nothing will cause them to stumble. So with that said, we're going to go ahead and jump into this week's Torah portion. This week, I have selected a verse out of Deuteronomy chapter 22. We're going to start with verse 9. It says, "You shall not sow your vineyard with two kinds of seed, lest the whole yield be forfeited. The crop that you have sown and the yield of the vineyard. You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. You shall not wear clothes of wool and linen mixed together." So what we kind of see is a concept here in the verse. And, you know, Yahweh, the creator of all things, he created earth. He knows exactly what he created. He is a lot wiser and smarter than we are. He knows more than us. And there were certain things that when he created earth, it was better, and it was a blessing for those things to not mix, for them to stay where they were. And so this is a concept and a verse that shows us that in our lives, that there are things in this world that we are not to mix together. And so I really want to talk about the spiritual aspect of this week more than the actual physical command of the scriptures or the literal command of the scriptures. And that is the spiritual idea is that when he created us to be in relationship with him, to have a intimate relationship with him, to be as Adam and Eve, who before they ate of the apple or the fruit in the tree that they were not to eat of the knowledge of good and evil, they walked with him in the cool of the day. They had a close relationship with him. They had an intimate relationship with him, you could say. They walked in unity with him. And that is his desire for us, is for us to walk in a close relationship with him and unity with him, like-minded with him. Like-minded with him and not like-minded with the world. We were created to worship him. We were created to have relationship with him. But the prince of this world, our enemy, Satan, has decided, or in his ideas, he wants us to worship him instead of worshiping God. One of the ways in which we worship Satan is through the worship of this world. He has dominion of this world. And when we walk in conformity to this world, we are worshiping and serving him. So we, as believers, need to be aware, we need to be on guard, that we are not walking in a mixture where we are walking, where we are serving the world or walking in the ways of the world, as well as trying to worship and serve our God. So let's look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." So when we think about cold or hot, so you could say, we could say cold could represent the world is walking and lawlessness, those who totally reject God and his word, don't even believe in him. And you could say hot, or on the other hand, you have those who believe in God, who believe in Yeshua and are walking in his ways. They are walking in his commandments. They are walking in obedience to his word. And then we see this third characteristics or this third group, and that is those who are lukewarm. And you could say those are those who profess to know Yeshua, but they are choosing to walk in the ways of the world. They're choosing to embrace the things of the world while yet professing a belief in Yeshua. So they have this mixture of between the world and walking with God. And we see here that to the one who's actually walking as a lukewarm person, this person actually is more of a detest to God than the one who is cold. He says, "I would rather you be cold. I would rather you not even believe. I would rather you not even profess to know me than to be one who believes or says they believe in me, but yet does not walk in my ways. It's a dangerous place to be because to that person, they think they're religious. They think they're good. They think they're saved. That's why he says, I will spit you out my mouth. Because to that person, they don't see the need for repentance. They don't see the need for change. They don't see the need for a savior. To the person who is cold, that person can still be open to hear and see their need for a savior. They don't see themselves as religious in their eyes. Now, let's look at verse 17. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourselves, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. So as we see here in this next verse, he's talking about those who are lukewarm. They think they're rich. They think they have prospered. They don't think they need anything. They think they are in a good place, but they're not, because they have compromise. They are not walking in his ways. They're not embracing his word. They have embraced the things of the world. It may not be that all of your life are the things of the world, but there are things of the world that you're holding on to, that you choose not to give up, that you love more than you love God and his commands. Are there things that you love that are of this world more than his commands? If that's the case, then you can find yourself in this spot where you are lukewarm. You are complacent with being disobedient to his commands because you are enjoying the pleasures of sin. And to that person, it's a dangerous place to be because they think they're rich. They think they need nothing. But in actuality, they're wretched. They're pitiable. They're poor. They're blind. They're naked. They need to repent. And that's what he tells them in verse 18 here. I counsel you to buy for me gold refined by fire. You can say, I counsel you to be refined. I counsel you to get rid of that which is impure in your life. That is what refinement is. When you put gold and you put it in fire, when gold is mixed with another metal, as scripture would call dross, when you put that in fire, it separates the dross from the gold. It separates that which is impure from that which is pure. So we as believers need to be willing to be refined, to allow his spirit and his word to refine us, to separate those things which are impure in our lives. So to the person who does not want to get rid or let go of that which is impure, what he is counseling you to do and what he is telling you is, you are wretched, you are pitiable, you are poor, you are blind, you are naked. You need to be refined. And we are refined by the fire of his spirit, by his spirit, and by his word. And then upon that refinement, upon the repentance of going through the process and saying, okay, I'm going to get rid of these impurities. This sin which I'm holding on to, I'm going to stop. I'm going to repent of it. Repent doesn't mean to come to him and say, I'm sorry, and then continue. To repent is to come before him and confess your sin before him. And then it is to make a 180. It is to turn from that direction in which you are walking and start walking in a new direction. So that is the first step to the person who is holding on to that which is impure, and that is repentance. And it's upon that that we can receive the white garments. The white garments represents us walking in the purity of his word, walking in the purity of his righteousness, of walking in obedience to him. Sin will stain our garments. So when we sin, we need someone to come and cleanse us of that which has made us unclean. White represents clean garments, that which is pure, that which is clean, us walking in purity, in the pure ways, not walking in a mixture. Look at verse 19. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. So what's he saying here? So to those who are lukewarm, I love you. I'm going to come and I'm going to reprove and discipline you. I'm going to bring discipline your way. We need, as believers, to be open to his discipline. We need to be able to recognize when he brings his discipline. And he disciplines us because he loves us, because his desire is for us to have his blessings, to walk in life, to enter into his gates and to live with him for eternity after the resurrection. That's his desire for us. And so because he wants us to be with him, he wants us to worship him, he wants that relationship with us, he's going to bring discipline when discipline is needed so that we can have that relationship with him instead of walking and serving the God of this world. So he says, be zealous. So be ardent. Have a ferventness about you, a eager, strong desire to walk in obedience to his word, to get rid of the things that are of this world, to get rid of the impurities, to get rid of those things that are unclean, that are not satisfying to him, to search our hearts and to see those things in which we are doing, where we are disobeying his commands, where we're not following his word or his ways. Be zealous to find those things. Be zealous to get rid of those things. And be zealous to repent, to turn from those things, not to desire the pleasure of that sin and to stay in the pleasure of that sin and to say, you know what? I'm forgiven. He died on the cross for me. I can do what I want to do because I'm forgiven. I'll never be perfect, so I'll just hold on to this, or I'll just keep doing this. No, his word is to be zealous for obedience and to repent from those things where we are being disobedient. Let's look at verse 20 here. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens a door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. It's interesting. This verse here, he is talking to believers. This verse is not being spoken to the unbeliever. You know, many times we read this verse and we think of it in terms of the unbeliever and them to hear his voice and open their hearts to his voice and allow him to come in. They think of this in terms of the unbeliever, but he's actually speaking to the believer, or you could say the one who is lukewarm, to the one who professes to know him, but yet is not walking in his ways, not walking in obedience to his word. To that person, he stands at the door, he's knocking, he's calling for you to repent. He's calling for you to be zealous for his righteousness and for his law and for his word. And he says, if you hear my voice and my call for you to repent and to be zealous for my word and my law, I will come into you. I will eat with him. I will have relationship with you. If you will desire to walk in unity with me, to be like-minded with me, to walk as I walk. The lukewarm believer tends to fall into conformity with the world and being conformed with the world. And they allow this desire to conform with the world to intertwine itself into their faith and the way they interpret scripture and the way they follow Scripture and the way they walk out their walk with Yeshua. And then they create religion and they follow religion and they think they're fine and they think they're good, when in actuality, they're not. They are wretched. And so to that person who will hear his voice and say no and repent and choose rather to be transformed into the image of Yeshua, to be conformed into Yeshua's image instead of the world's, to walk just as he walked. Well, how did Yeshua walk? Yeshua was the perfect, sinless Lamb of God. He never once broke God's law. So that is our call as a believer, to walk in obedience to his word, to obey his word. In verse 21, the one who conquers, I will grant him to sit on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. So who's the one who conquers? It's the one who chooses and is zealous and ardent to walk in God's word in obedience, who conquers the flesh, who conquers the desire to seek into the conformity of the world, to be like the world. The one who conquers by being conformed into the image of Yeshua and walking as Yeshua walked. The one who has conquered is the one who possesses a belief in Yeshua, who has been cleansed by his blood, has been filled with his spirit, and is walking in obedience to the law of God. And to that one, he will grant to sit with him on his throne. Let's look at Daniel chapter 12 and verse 10. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined. But the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But those who are wise shall understand. So Daniel here in this passage is actually speaking about the end days, as we are in the days of the tribulation. And he speaks, and this even applies for us today. And this time, there will be those who will purify themselves. How can we purify ourselves? We purify ourselves, number one, by his word, his law. His word and law is pure, and it purifies us. If we walk in his ways, we will be pure. We will be unstained from this world. Now, you must first have been cleansed by the blood of Yeshua. That is the first and most important thing. But after that, you purify yourselves by walking in obedience to his word. It refines us. It makes us white. It makes us clean. When we walk in obedience, we are walking in that which is clean. When we choose disobedience, we choose that which is unclean. He says the wicked will act wickedly. They will continue to walk in disobedience. So don't have mixture with that which is wicked. Don't mix the wicked with the righteous. Separate them. Get rid of that which is wicked. And to those who are wise shall have understanding. What makes us wise? His Torah. We had a teaching on that a few weeks back. His Torah makes the simple wise. Let's look at Psalms chapter 119 and verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. So the key to us walking in that which is pure, the key to being clean and being hot and not walking in lukewarmness and being rich before his eyes is by guarding his word, or as it said before, being zealous to guard his word. And if we're going to guard his word, we have to know his word. So we need to love his word. We need to know his word. We need to meditate on his word. We need to memorize his word. It needs to be stored within our hearts. We need to guard it, which means we are now doing it. You can't do it if you don't love it. You can't do it if you don't know it. And if it's not hidden in your heart, you're not going to do it either. Now let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 12 and look at another concept we see here regarding his word. You shall make yourselves tassels on the four corners of your garments with which you cover yourselves. These tassels were for the children of Israel to remember the commands that God had given them, his law, his Torah. So these tassels that we wear upon our garments are to remind us of his commands, of what he has taught us and told us to do. You can wear tassels all day long, but if you're not keeping his commands, if you're not guarding his commands, then you're just making a fashion statement. The most important concept and idea behind this is, are you keeping his commands? Are you meditating upon his commands? Are his commands written upon your heart and in your heart? And are you zealous to keep them and to guard them? Let's look at Psalm chapter 119, verse 163. It says, I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. So we need to be as a psalmist here, one who says, I love your law. I hate falsehood. What is falsehood? Falsehood is anything that is contradictory, that is against, that is in opposition to God's law. And that basically is what the world is. The world is at war against the law of God. In fact, our own flesh is at war against the law of God. We have to conquer our flesh because our flesh does not want to submit itself to God's law. But remember, the one who conquers, so the one who conquers his flesh, who kills his flesh, who crucifies his flesh, daily, Yeshua says, daily we die to ourselves. So to the one who daily dies to his flesh that is at war against the law, who hates everything that is in contrary or opposition to the law, to that one will conquer and will sit on his throne with him. So look at verse 15 of chapter Psalms 119. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. So what do we as believers need to be doing? We need to meditate on his precepts, on his law. You know, what we set our minds upon is what we are going to do. You know, Paul tells us that the carnal mind cannot walk in the ways of God. It cannot satisfy the spirit. It cannot satisfy God. It's at war against God. But the mind that is set upon the spirit will walk in the spirit. The mind set upon the flesh will walk in the flesh. The mind that is set upon the spirit will walk in the spirit. So that's why we need to meditate on his law. His law is spirit. If we meditate upon his law, then we will walk in his law. But if we're not meditating upon his law, if we're not thinking about his law, if it's not in our thoughts, but our thoughts are upon that which is carnal or that which is fleshly, on the desires of our flesh, the desires of our body that seeks the pleasures of sin, if that's what our mind is thinking about, if our mind is thinking about the things of the world, the ways of the world, the pleasures of the world, seeking conformity to the world, then that's what we're going to do. We're going to follow that which our mind is thinking upon. That's why righteousness and obedience starts from within. It starts in the heart and the desires that we have within us. and upon what we're thinking about. We have to first address what's going on inside of us before we will ever change what our outward actions are doing. If we meditate upon his law, if we meditate upon being conformed into the image of Yeshua and how Yeshua walked and what he did, now we're going to begin to walk as he did. And we're going to begin to walk in conformity with him. We're going to look like him. And then we can be in unity with him, a like-mindedness with him, like desires with him. And that is what his desire is, for our desires to match his, for our thoughts to match his. Instead of trying to possess a belief with him and have some sort of a relationship with him while our mind is thinking upon conformity to the world, or our mind is thinking upon the desires of the flesh that is inside of us that brings pleasure for a season. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will put my eyes upon your ways, upon your law. I will read your law. I will read your word. I will look and watch your ways, how you walked, what you did. I will study the way Yeshua walked. That's what my eyes will be fixed upon. I will study your word, not the world. I will study you and not how the world acts. If we're studying the world and our gaze are fixed upon them, then our desires are going to follow what our eyes are looking at. We're going to go what our eyes are fixed upon. I will delight in your statutes and I will not forget your word. Oh, that we would delight in his law, that we would actually love his law, not see his law as something that is burdensome, something that just has to be done, but to see his law for what it is. That is an instructions from a loving father who wants to have relationship with us, who wants us to have life, who wants us to have joy and blessing. Remember, Yeshua said that in abiding with him and in keeping his commandments, that our joy might be full. Joy comes from walking in obedience. It's not the other way around. Walking in obedience does not bring despair and a heavy burden weighing us down. It's the exact opposite. When you're walking in obedience to his word and you have a belief in Yeshua and he has cleansed you and he has placed his spirit inside of you and you're walking according to his spirit and you're walking in obedience, when you're doing it right, you will have joy. And he says, I will not forget your word, that we would not forget his word, his law. That we would remember it, meditate upon it, and remember it. Let that be the thing upon which you think about and have it memorized. Know it. So when situations and temptation comes your way, you know his word. You have it there. Remember, when Yeshua was tempted in the wilderness three times, all three times he quoted God's law back to Satan. He quoted the Torah back to Satan. We need to walk just as he walked. So how do we overcome temptation? By quoting his law back at the evil one. But you can't quote his law back if you have forgotten his word. So look at Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But Yahweh knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So how is a man who chooses not to walk in the counsel of the wicked? How does the scripture describe the man who chooses not to behave like the world, chooses not to be led by the world, to seek direction from the world or the wicked? The wicked represents that of the world, those who are in opposition to God's word, who reject his word. Because see, if you seek counsel from the wicked, from the one who rejects God's word, then you cannot walk in that which is righteous, because you're abandoning the thing which leads you in righteousness. If you walk in the counsel of the wicked, then you will walk in wickedness. Okay? So blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. So blessed is the man who does not follow the ways of the wicked, who does not seek advice from the wicked, who is not led astray by the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. So he rejects that which is wicked. He rejects sin. He rejects disobedience. And he puts his delight in the law of Yahweh. So he delights in knowing God's word. He delights in obeying his word. And he meditates upon it day and night. He thinks upon it day and night. He is constantly reminding himself of God's law. That's what the tassels are for, to remind us of his law day and night, that we meditate upon his law day and night. So we put our delight in his law. We reject that which is wicked. That person is blessed. Does not mean that life is going to go perfectly. We will still face trials. We are going to face temptations. We are going to go through some rough and hard patches. But even in the hard times, even in the valley, you could say, we are still blessed. He is still there with us. He will protect us. He will guide you. He will deliver you. He will be your God, your mighty one. He will bring you out of that valley. But you are blessed if you delight in the law of God and you reject the ways of the wicked. And he says about that person who is blessed, he is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in season. So this is a healthy tree, a tree that prospers, is producing plenty of fruit. So to the one who delights in God's law, who walks in his law and rejects the ways of the wicked, rejects disobedience, to that person, he's fruitful. He prospers. Not only do you prosper in life, but you prosper and you're fruitful in the things of the Spirit. Your life will produce spiritual fruit in all seasons, at all times. And that spiritual fruit is meant to be a blessing unto others, even unto the unbeliever. May they see your good works and praise your heavenly Father. May they see your good works and seek out repentance. But to the one who is wicked, to the one who chooses not to obey, and I'm even going to talk about the lukewarm, to the one who professes to believe Yeshua, who professes to have religion, but yet still walks in the counsel of the wicked, that's mixture. To that one, they are like the chaff in the wind. They are driven away by the wind. They are driven away by the trials of this world, the test of this world, the tribulation and the pressures of this world. They are driven away, and the wicked will perish. To the righteous, eternal life. And Yahweh knows the way of the righteous. He knows where you are. He knows how you're walking. And he will be with you. He will dine with you. He will commune with you. He will walk with you just as he walked with Adam and Eve. So let us be careful of falling into lukewarmness. Let us be careful of falling into complacency when it comes to our relationship with Yeshua and with our Heavenly Father. Let us be careful of falling into the complacency of religion. But let us every day hold a ardent, a zealousness about us to know his law, to know his word, to know his ways, and to seek conformity unto his ways, to walk as Yeshua walked, and to walk in obedience to his word. Well, hallelujah. I hope that this message has blessed you today. We will be back again next week with another teaching from next week's Torah portion. So come back and join us, and shalom, y'all.